always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So let's go ahead and dive on into the chat. We played the most important sound on the show. So we will go ahead and Jay Cooper gave us our first one. And man, what is up with the internet? Good Lord. Come on. There we go. Jay Cooper, he is so inconsistent. He's not really a center. You think he's not really the center you think he is, even though he's a stretch and that contract is dirty and nasty, especially being 34 years old. The last year of the deal is $30 million. So I'm looking at the deal. It ends when he's 32. I would be a lot more nervous about it if it ended when he was 34. But it's his age 30, 31, and 32 year seasons. That player option, a pretty safe bet he's going to pick that up eventually. Look, like Miles Turner, the player, is very concerning. Like his numbers last year and his impact and like just the overall sense of frustration that I got from, Pacers fans last year as they watched him play. Like, I totally understand. Like, his numbers are so bad from last year. Ugh. He played 71 games last year, scored 11.9 points per game, only 5 rebounds a game, which is not good. Shot 44% from the field as a center. That's crazy. And what's crazy is that like he shot 38% from 3, which is not terrible. The problem is that like he was only 52% from like 2-point range, which when you're a center is just not very good. Again, the point guard play was pretty brutal last year, and Giannis was in and out of the spot, in and out of the rotation because of his injuries, and like just overall, like Doc Rivers eventually gets fired. That entire Bucks atmosphere was so bad that I'm inclined to kind of give him a little bit of leeway on how bad he was, but do not get this twisted. He was very bad last year. And so bad. I don't love it. Was only able to play 26.9 minutes per game last year, which seems really low for a team that gave up and did everything that they did to get him. That also doesn't seem great. You look out like you could, if the argument is, all right, if you give up something for Miles Turner, that is already a higher price than you would be paying to like send a mid-level offer to Nikola Vucevic, right? And that's a fair argument. But that latter approach of like, well, you know, at least we didn't give up anything to get Vucevic. Well, Vucevic has a much higher likelihood that he isn't going to work out in the postseason. Whereas like Turner, we've at least seen him play well in a postseason before until he didn't. I think that like with Vucevic, situation where you pat yourself on the back for not trading anything for Vooch and then you like get to the postseason and he can't even play and you're like, oh, that's why we didn't have to give up anything for Vucevic. Whereas with Turner, yeah, you technically might have to give something up for him. Maybe he takes some of that cap space up or whatever. I don't think, because the Celtics are interested, I don't think the Lakers would be able to get Turner for nothing, or that they would, get paid for taking on Turner's contract. But yeah, like if you're, you know, you get to the postseason and you have Turner on your roster and you're like, all right, I could maybe see this working out. I also like that Turner could potentially play with a Jackson Hayes in some two-man lineups. In some two-man lineups, like if your center rotation next year, Ayton opts in, you re-sign Jackson to like a $6 or $7 million contract later in the offseason, and then you trade for Turner, and your centers next year are Turner, Ayton, and Jackson. You could play two big lineups with Turner and Ayton. You could play, you know, to help you with the lineups with Turner and with Hayes, you know, so that three-point spacing. So, like, there's that as a concept potentially. But yeah, the big thing here is having the variety, being able to throw that pitch and, you know, what you need to spend to get a player who allows you to throw that pitch and you know, being good enough that like you could actually feel comfortable throwing the pitch in the postseason. Oh my gosh. What is going on? I'm afraid I might have to jump out of here because, yeah, this is not working. Can you guys hear me? I think StreamYard is just crashing out. All right. Can you guys hear me? Let's try this again. Wow, this is crazy. StreamYard is just absolutely losing its mind. So I'm going to run through the comments just really quickly and then get out of here. If I can even do that, come on. What are you doing? Mark 7987, would the Lakers get a first-round pick for taking on Turner's contract? I don't think so. Again, because of the Celtics' interest, I think Milwaukee basically says to both of those teams, whoever we don't have to send a first-round pick to, you get Turner. And, you know, if like one thing, if I were the Lakers, if I could get off of Vanderbilt's contract by way of taking on Turner, then – but – again, like if it depends on the kind of money that Boston would send back to Milwaukee. Actually, Boston has a trade exception that Turner technically fits into, so they wouldn't even need to send money over, which is something that Milwaukee would be looking for. So either way, like the Lakers and the Celtics would be negotiating along very similar lines. And, you know, I think, you know, now, one thing I've been thinking about a lot is whether trading, if you trade for Giannis, can you sweeten the pot by also trading for Turner? If you open up enough money and stuff like that, that is an interesting proposal or proposition. But yeah, as far as taking or getting a first rounder for Turner, probably not. Maybe a second. Maybe, you know, if you send like Dalton over, maybe Milwaukee sends a second rounder and Miles Turner, which I think would be interesting. You free up that much more money. You get your starting center for next year. You get a second rounder at a time where you're kind of light on second rounders. That would be something it would make me even more interested, even beyond all the basketball stuff that I've said. To this point. Let's see if this thing works. I'm so nervous. Hey, it worked. All right. Pinty23 writes Jock Landale or John Collins or Zach Collins. Zach Collins just can't seem to get or stay healthy. Otherwise, I like his game. I think he's an interesting guy. John Collins is interesting, although, like, if you go after a John Collins, that's Rui adjacent, I would probably say. Better, much better lob threat than Rui, much better, like, finisher at the rim than Rui. So I guess that would be somewhat appealing. I don't know what his market is going to look like. I've always really liked Londale as kind of like your beefy, like, third string center. But I like if Hayes is already kind of your third string center, you know, because I think the Lakers intend to pick up their starting center this summer. And so if Hayes is already your third string center, then it's kind of difficult to employ Londale unless you think that Ayton is going to opt out, and then you have like Londale and Hayes, and then at that point you need a better starting center than I think even Turner. John Collins is interesting. Zach Collins also would be interesting. He just can't stay healthy, unfortunately. Let's see. I know, Gabe, the Miles Turner concept is dead and past. He would have been perfect next to AD years ago, but that ship has sailed. The AD Turner thing would have been so fun. That would have been great. Unfortunately, they traded for Russell Westbrook and ended their title window. But I still think, like, I don't think Turner is washed at 30 years old. I think he was in a really bad situation last year. He even talked about it on that one podcast, right, where he said he was kind of impacted by the lack of professionalism. And I think he wants to get back to being like in a serious spot again. And I think if he got back to a serious spot and he had, you know, Luka or Austin running the pick and roll with him let alone with LeBron or something like that. Like I don't know. I like the concept. And I know people are going to ask, like, well, what if AD is that stretch big? One, he no longer can shoot. Like, we've seen this for sure. And two, his contract is brutal and he wants an extension at roughly the same number. And I know nobody's going to give it to him, but I don't want to have to be the team to tell him you're not getting that extension. Well, the good news is my StreamYard seems to be up and running again. Which makes me feel a lot better because I have a couple more super comments that I want to spend some more time on. Let's Run UNLV writes, if Giannis is the number one swing, what's the number two and number three? So what do you do? What do you put on the table and say to LeBron to take $15 million that isn't Giannis? That's a great question. As it stands right now, I do think it won't be a player of Giannis's level, but I do think that there's more movement anticipated this summer than usual. And that a player we haven't thought about yet is going to be moved. And that player is better than, like, we're going to be surprised at how good that player is. And I think that player who is like slightly less good or talented than Giannis, you know, and like better than like a Miles Turner, like an all-star. I bet like a legit all-star is going to be moved this summer that isn't on anybody's radar right now. And that is plan B for the Lakers, is to get involved in those conversations. And, you know, essentially like they want to be able to put together their best roster in their own right, you know, like, Like and by this I mean with like as it pertains to LeBron. Sorry, I'm kind of blanking. But the Lakers, they want to like they are focused on making the best roster, building the best roster that they possibly can. And LeBron has nothing to do with that. And at the end of making their best roster that they possibly can, they would then go to LeBron and be like, are you interested in playing on this team? And I think by trading for that all-star, not superstar, I don't think the Lakers are like outside of Giannis. I don't think that there's like another superstar who's going to be moved. But I think if the Lakers could get that all-star, slot Austin just slightly down to like the third spot on in the totem pole, negotiate their contract with Austin and then, you know, do some stuff on the peripheries using, you know, whatever cap space that they have left over or whatever salary exceptions that they have left over. They're going to use those things. Then they're going to go to LeBron. Maybe they'll leave one of those exceptions aside. And then they're going to go to LeBron and be like, are you interested in playing on this team? This is the number that we now literally can offer you. Because like, if the Lakers go to LeBron at the beginning of the offseason and say, hey, we have you at $15 million next year, I think they lose LeBron. Like, he is not interested in playing on a team that sees him as a $15 million player. If he plays next season at $15 million or so per year, it would be because that is the most that that team can pay him that he is willing to play for. And so if the Lakers go to LeBron and be like, look, we have you at $15 million next year. Are you interested in playing on a team that we could do this for you for or with? I think LeBron at that point says, no. And he goes and he talks to Golden State and he talks to Cleveland and they come back to him and they say, the most we would love to pay you more, LeBron. I'm sorry. If we could, we would. But if you play for us, you're going to be at this number. And then LeBron makes a choice between those three teams that are all paying him roughly the same number and goes with one of the two teams that made him feel more wanted than the Lakers did when they told him at the onset of at the summer, no, we see you as a $15 million a year player. Like that's what we have you pegged at if you're going to be on this team. And that's very different from like, look, hang tight there. What I would do if I were the Lakers here too is I would say to LeBron, Golden State's $15 million per year offer isn't going anywhere. Cleveland's minimum to $10 million offer a year, that's not going anywhere either. So just let us build out this roster and we'll come back to you. And if you're impressed by the work that we did, then let's work out your contract from there. They would first renounce his rights as part of that process and all of that. But like, that's how that conversation would kind of have to go. And to answer, let's run UNLV's, question here. That involves trading for, Giannis is up here. Player X who resides just, lower than Giannis, right? But I think first and foremost, the Lakers are really going to try hard at landing Giannis. And then from there, they'll see what spare pieces shake free from, in the wake of Giannis's finally being traded. Let's run UNLV also writes, renounce LeBron, then make the best team possible and bring that to LeBron after what, with maybe a biannual, which contender is paying LeBron more than that? Yeah. So that's it. That's exactly the process that we just kind of talked about. Derek Parker, B4Y, I would love beef stew. You know what? It's kind of sort of beef stew weather outside my window right now. You know, a little heavy, because it's kind of hot and humid out there. It's like 87 with 300% humidity, so it's kind of hot for a. But you know, I'm sitting here in a light hoodie. Get the house cold enough. Make some beef stew. I don't hate it. But yeah, like the. I'm really curious what Detroit's offseason looks like. They were a really fun story all year, and then now they're going to go into next season with legit expectations, and they're going to be more expensive at a time where they go into next season with legit expectations. And they're eventually going to have to make a choice between Durin and Beef Stew, and I think eventually they're going to arrive at the conclusion that Beef Stew can go. And whenever they arrive at that conclusion, I would love for the Lakers to pick up that phone and order them some Beef Stew. Let's see. The next question here. I'm sorry with the lagging issues from earlier. Let's see. Nizzy Sports Picks. If you were to put money on who the center and the wing player the Lakers are going to get, who would you say those players would be? I'll say Turner and Cam Johnson. Because the Nuggets are up against the luxury tax and they have to make a decision on Peyton Watson. Like, what would be fun for the Lakers to do is to basically make a big offer to Peyton Watson. Say, here is a 4-year, $135 million offer that the Nuggets immediately start sweating over. And like right at the onset of the summer, put the Nuggets' feet to the fire and just be like, you now have to make a choice. Do you want Peyton Watson and Gordon and Brown and Johnson and the luxury taxes that come with that? Or do you want to slide under that luxury tax number and send us Cam Johnson or Aaron Gordon or Christian Brown and Watson resigns or whatever, or you match the offer? Or do you just let us sign Peyton Watson? So I think that'd be the first thing I would do at the very beginning of the summer. While you're doing that, you're talking to Milwaukee about, you know, what the market is for, and I'm sure these conversations are already going on. The Lakers in Milwaukee, I'm sure are already talking this out, as are Boston and Milwaukee and all that stuff. This stuff is, it just never stops. So you find out, you know, you see what kind of offer that they're looking for. They just want, you know, maybe they want, you know, the cash considerations, or maybe they want Dalton, or, you know, maybe the Lakers, you know, push for a second rounder in return or something like that. And in the time that you are negotiating that out with Milwaukee, you know, the Nuggets then have 2 days to work out their situation with Watson. And at the end of that, maybe you walk away with one of those wings from Denver and Turner, ideally. And look, I'll also say this, they would still have a lot of work to do if that's like the extent of the, and you'd better hope that that is enough to convince LeBron to come back, because that's not a better team than last year. Let's see. I think I'm all right. Watson is clutch, so you think that's a good idea? Why would Rich Paul work against himself? You'd be doing Rich Paul a favor by, because as soon as the Lakers make that offer, if it's a big number, then that's the number that he would be at either with the Lakers or with the Nuggets. So I don't see how that would be something that like Rich Paul would be bummed about. So Yeah. The Johnson's tough for them, you know, as far as like them giving up on Cam Johnson, because they literally just traded a first rounder in Michael Porter Jr. for Cam Johnson. And then if they like then have to, you know, get off of his money and incentivize somebody to get off of his money, then that is just really poor asset management. So it makes me wonder if they would do that, or if they would hopefully, you know, if they would hope to move Brown. Brown's contract is bad, but he does fill a need for the Lakers, you know, in terms of point of attack defense, and just kind of gritty attitude. But of those guys, he would be the guy I'd be like least enthused about getting. You know, if it was Gordon, I'd be excited, but I'd be nervous because his hamstrings are made out of pulled pork. And then you have, you know, Johnson, who picked it up late last year, and I do think is a pretty good player, but I think is a little overrated. Watson is really intriguing. I'd be thrilled if Denver didn't match that number and the Lakers were able to just get him without giving up anything and go about the rest of their offseason that way. But yeah, that would be like my order of operations if I was Rob. That, and we'll see how close we come to that. All right, I am going to go ahead and jump out of here while I am allowed to make that decision on my own terms. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Today's show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free lineups when you play a $5 lineup of your own. Pete is in the lounge tomorrow for an episode of The Hook. So until then, until the next time. And also some show news. Raj and I are going to recap finals games that happened during the week. So the next one of that type are going to be Monday, the game three. So for game three, Raj and I will be live in the lounge afterwards. So look ahead to that and look ahead to tomorrow, and have a great rest of your day and make somebody else's. I'll talk to you.